Jason mentioned in his prayer that the Conner-Ups we support in Kenya, Africa, have a Bible college, and they graduate anywhere from 4 to 8 every year that go out and start churches in Kenya. And so Brother Ole is busy all the time with preaching their anniversaries and their ordinations and their startups and all of that sort of thing. And the school has a bus, and the bus had a wreck, and several of the kids went to the hospital. Their insurance covered the cost of treating the kids or students. I'm not sure if it's college kids or grade school, but it did not cover the repair to the bus, and so he asked for help, and Bob sent out a request to the deacons, and we approved it, and we're sending $500 to help with that, and if a few other churches that support that work will do that, then they'll not have a problem taking care of that. So remember them in your prayers, and all of our missionaries doing good works. We're in Judges, and we're looking at chapter 15 and 16. Judges is referred to as this area, the seventh apostasy and servitude under Samson. Samson judged Israel for 20 years, but it's obvious that spiritual privilege does not guarantee spiritual success. Spiritual success is based on our walk with God and our morals and our faithfulness. And Samson had ups and downs in his life personally. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 and 13, if you'll go there with me. I mentioned this passage several times as we've studied Judges. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The chapter 10 deals with the emphasis of the example that Israel is to us from how they went through the wilderness and the temptations they failed in and the sins they failed in, and we're to see those as examples for us not to make the same mistakes. And Samson had mistakes in his life. He thought he could stand with the power that God had given him, but in those days the Spirit came upon men to empower them for specific jobs or roles or duties or miracles, but he did not indwell them permanently as he does us today as believers in Christ. But there were miraculous working things that took place at times, as they did in Samson's life. Samson was, chapter 15, we saw that verse number 1, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife with a kid. He said, I will go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put the firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock, Etam. So this is a strange events that take place in the life of this man. He married this woman in Timnath, which was of the Philistines and not of his own people. We saw he left the reservation, is how I title it. He went to the world and immediately saw a girl that appealed to him, and he wanted her for a wife. And his parents tried to reason with him, but he would not be reasoned with. And he made really a demand for them to get her for him. And so he made the arrangements to marry her. But then he went back with his family, and he stayed gone for some time, apparently, and her parents thought that he was not coming back, and she had reasoned with Samson to get information out of him to give to the Philistines about the riddle where he had killed a lion and then returning later had eaten honey from the carcass of the lion, where the bees had made honey there in the lion's carcass. And she told the riddle to the Philistines, and so Samson was angry with her. And this may have been the motivation for the father to give her to his companion, his friend. A believer has to recognize his strength comes from the Lord, and we are dependent upon him. We're not dependent upon self. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, we know this is the text that deals with putting on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, to stand. And to put on the helmet, the breastplate, the loins girt about, the feet shod, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so that's part of our obtaining the power of God and being prepared for the spiritual warfare that we're in. This battle is ongoing. It will always be ongoing until the Lord takes us out of this place and delivers us from the presence of sin. He's delivered us from the power of it. And he has delivered us from the penalty that our sin caused. But the presence of sin is still here. We're still in a battle with Satan. But the Lord will take us to heaven and deliver us from the presence one day. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that a believer is to present himself a living sacrifice unto God. And it says that is our reasonable service. So in presenting ourselves, that's a part of our spiritual strength and our moral code and our compass that we walk with God and live for the Lord. And we have dedicated ourselves to God to obtain His strength. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible teaches that the Christian life is like a race. And to enter that race, we must lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience or endurance the race, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, the aspect of laying aside weights are things that in themselves may not be a sin, but they may hinder us in our Christian life. And we have many decisions that we have to let things go or put things aside that are hindering us in our time to read our Bible, hindering us in going to church, hindering us in being the example that we need to be. And those may be weights. And it takes a dedication to be willing to lay aside things so that we can better serve the Lord and be a spiritual person. A believer must see these things that impede spiritual growth and lay them aside. And of course, the sin that may be a chronic thing that we've dealt with, that we must put it aside and keep our eyes on Christ. Now, Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, made a very conscious decision to reject the benefits of being Pharaoh's son. Pharaoh's daughter found Moses in the bulrushes and took him home. And his sister came and talked her into hiring his own mother to be the nurse to him to take care of him. And he could have grown up in that home. He could have inherited. He could have had position and power. But he made a choice to be identified with the nation of Israel that was in slavery rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt under Pharaoh's command. And he identified himself with the Lord and with the Lord's people. When God began to separate Moses for his use as a leader of the nation later on, Moses began to get fearful. He began to see the responsibility of that position with God. And he began to make excuses to the Lord about why, God, you should choose somebody else. You know, call my brother. He's a good talker. I can't speak well. And he began to make excuses to the Lord. And the Lord said, I made your mouth, and I will be with you, and I'm calling you. And if God's laying a burden on your heart about serving him, don't give God excuses. Just tell the Lord you're going to do your best. You'll be faithful and you'll try to grow and you'll try to accomplish what God would have you to do. We should be like Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord, send me. You're the person God wants to use and God will use you. We must not be like Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't like those people. They were very wicked and evil in their conquering of other nations. And as a prophet of God, he knew that they would have a battle against Israel in the future. And so he didn't want them to get saved, and he didn't want to go there and preach the gospel to them. So he ran from God and from God's call to him. And on the ship, he got thrown overboard and was swallowed by the whale. And then he prayed and asked God to restore him. And he was willing to go and do what God had called him to do. God can put people through a test that will make them ready to serve rather than be in the circumstance that they were in. And that's what happened to Jonah. And God forbid that it would happen to any of us. I think it's normal for anybody that feels the Lord laying upon them a burden of ministry in some way to have fearful aspects that you're serving the Lord and you don't want to mess up, you don't want to lead anybody astray. But we have to trust God with that and help make ourselves equipped and ready by the study of the Word and faithfulness in the church and whatever it takes for us to grow to the point that we can do what God has called us to do. Now, Samson, between Judges 15 and 16, this time frame, the Bible says that he judged Israel for 18 years. And this time frame of about 18 years in here, of a total of 20 years that he judged them, most of that time he was a judge that we aren't given crisis after crisis after crisis that he went through. The early part of his adult life as a judge and the latter part of his life as a judge, we find him, you know, getting a moral crisis again and having problems and conflicts. But he had problems with the nation of the Philistines, but he is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the chapter where men did great works by faith. And he had faith in the Lord and believed God would give the battle and the victory when he faced these things. We assume he ruled peacefully with godly influence upon Israel during many of these years. We remember Samson stands for God against the nation of the Philistines almost totally alone in all the battles that he fought. Now, often God lays the burden upon one person to do something, to start a ministry, to build an aspect of something that reaches people, helps people, spreads the gospel. Often it's one person that starts these things, and then God gives them help as they do so, and it grows into many people serving the Lord. But it may begin with one person. And God looks for a man to stand in the gap. And Samson was that man that God raised up to do this. Maybe to build a ministry or to go to the mission field. Or these things take deep commitment. But we should all have that kind of deep commitment if we're a disciple of Jesus Christ. As a disciple, the Bible says that we're to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross and follow Him. And so discipleship for Christ is a decision of commitment and dedication that I would hope all Christians and all of our church would make that decision to do the best we can to serve the Lord completely. Now, many families are not immediately willing to give up their home, move away from their family, move to go into the ministry and go to Bible college and go to the mission field, or leave to another area because God has placed you in a work somewhere. I understand there's difficulty in that, and it takes something. Well, Samson, with all of his flaws, was God's man for the hour with the nation of the Philistines. And the Bible says very clearly that Samson would begin to judge the Philistines. It was not a total wipeout of their nation, but he would begin this, and it would follow along through David later on and through others. Too often the nation of Israel is shown that they will sort of go with the flow of whatever nation is ruling over them. For many years they are in servitude to other nations in these seven apostasies and seven servitudes that we have looked at. And it takes getting things going really bad for some time before they would be willing to cry out to God for deliverance, be willing knowing that they may have to go to war, knowing they're going to have to make major changes in their lives spiritually. They're going to get rid of the idols. They're going to have to make major changes. And it took something for them to get to the point where they would be willing to do that. And so many today are like Israel under domination. The Jews, you'll remember when Jesus was born in Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says that when Herod heard of the birth from the wise men who came seeking the king of the Jews' birth, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. They were troubled to get this news. They should have been rejoicing. They should have said, finally, the Messiah has come. Let us all go and worship Him. They should have had that kind of attitude. But instead, they were troubled. They were thinking of it may cause a war with Rome. It may cause great change to take place in the way they were living. Like Israel, many times in their battles would, if the man who was ruling over them in the early days, they would say, to your tents, Israel. Because they were being ruled over wrongly, they would not stay in the cities and sit under the leadership. They would go to their tents and go to the wilderness areas and reject living under who they were living for and working for. But they were concerned about what it would cost them to face this. When Moses went and told the nation of Israel they would be leaving Egypt and would be going to the promised land that God had promised 430 years later after Abraham, they were going to the promised land. But they put up some arguments. And when they got in the wilderness and started having all these problems, you'll remember numerous times they murmured and complained against Moses and God. And they said to him, did you bring us out here to let us die in the wilderness? Is that not what we said when we were still in Egypt? Didn't we tell you about this, Moses? This is what you were doing to us by bringing us out here? And so the difficulties come when people have to make major changes in their lives and make repentance and put things aside and get into war and all of these things. War is a hard thing, a hard battle. And it's always a difficult thing. Now, Samson needs to go and visit his wife, so he takes a goat, a kid, or a lamb as a present to her. And when he gets there to meet his wife, her father explains he's given her away to another man. So he's angered. And he decides he'll get vengeance on the Philistines, and they can take vengeance on his wife and his father-in-law, and he'll be free of any responsibility of that. And so he catches these. Some translators say that foxes could be jackals or something of that nature. I like to stick with what the Bible says, and I'll just say foxes. He caught the foxes, put them tail to tail, tied the firebrands, turned them loose into the corn, and burned up the shocks. That's where they gather it together and bind it for taking it in. And then also the standing, that which had not been cut yet. They burn it all up and caused a pretty good fire, I'm sure. And the Philistines were very angry over this, so much so that they sought to know who did this. And when they found out it was Samson and why, then they go over and burn the man from Timnath and his daughter because of what they have caused. Now, Samson is... God's using these various things in his life to bring judgment on the Philistines and to bring him to a point where he makes some all-out effort in being judge against them. Samson is retaliating and he's concerned about his safety, so he leaves the area after he deals with this. Now, the Bible tells us that in chapter 15 and verse 12 and 13, the Bible tells us that the Philistines came up against Israel and spread themselves out through his homeland. Lehi is a part of his home area, and Judah, and they spread out their army there. And the people of Israel go out and say, "Why have you come against us such?" "Because we've come to bind Samson. We've come to arrest him. We're going to tie him up. We're going to take him back." And whether they're going to kill him or whatever they're going to do with him. But Israel was afraid of them, but they were more afraid of Samson. In chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible says that he slew 1,000 of the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. So there were at least 1,000 Philistines that came up against Israel. But Israel gets 3,000 men to go talk to Samson to ask him to surrender. And they come to him, and they want peace at any cost. And Samson is willing to surrender to them as long as they themselves do not fall upon him. They tie him with new cords. Now, he's not worried about the new cords. He's shown the kind of strength that God can give him at times. And God gives him great strength in this situation. Verse 12 says, "They said unto him, We are to come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. They spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. It came to pass when he made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi." He's talking about being a jawbone, the heel of the jawbone. Verse 18, And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. So he gave God the praise of the deliverance, that it was God who gave him the great deliverance. But he's fearful and he's hurting. I can imagine swinging that thing for that period of time to kill 1,000 men, that he's so thirsty he feels like he's going to die. And he couldn't stop in the middle of the war. He had to wait till it was over and after he'd slain all these men. And so God gave the great victory. But you notice there's no mention whatsoever of the 3,000 men from Israel that tied him up and brought him to the Philistines, helping out and joining in while he's slaying all these of the enemy. And it's kind of like Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel. He called down fire from heaven and it licked up all the sacrifice and all the water they'd poured on it. And then he turned and called for the people to turn on the prophets of Baal, and they killed the 400 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 19. And then he heard what Jezebel said she would do to him this night because of what he's done. And he got in a state of depression and asked the Lord to let him die. It wasn't just the danger of what the queen wanted to do to him. It was also that he thought he was left alone, that nobody else was serving God like those that had been on the mount there that said they turned to the Lord, but they had not been serving God. They'd been worshiping Baal prior to that. And so he was discouraged and depressed and defeated. And Samson experiences a little of that now with his thirst. And he finds the Lord is able to deliver him. The Lord's able to supply his needs. When God calls somebody to do something, God can enable them to do it. And God can supply the needs for them to be able to do it. God supplied the need for Israel through the wilderness. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't kill off all their herds to eat food. God supplied miraculously for them for 40 years in the wilderness until they went into Canaan land and had houses they didn't build and crops they didn't sow. And they took over all of that because God had given that to Abraham and wanted to drive out those nations for their idolatry and their sin and their morals and their wickedness. Well, I think about Moses leading them, and they murmured and complained, wanted water, they were thirsty. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a rock and said, strike the rock with your staff. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that rock was Christ. And Christ being smitten gives life. His death on the cross gives life to believers. Just like that rock split open and water came out of it and gave life to the nation of Israel. But the next time they needed water, they were to ask for it, not smite the rock a second time. Again, that was a type of Christ, that he was to die once for our sins. And then to deal with our sins after we're saved, we confess to him and ask for his forgiveness, and we are restored. But Moses was angry with the people, and he struck the rock a second time. And he lost his place in the promised land for that. He died in the wilderness and did not go over with Joshua and the nation into the promised land. And you see, when he smote the rock the second time, it did give water. And the water did meet the people's desires and needs. But it didn't please God. There's an awful lot of things in Christianity today that are being done that may help some people, but is it pleasing God or not? That's the question. God not only tells us what to do, but he tells us how to do it. And he wants it done in his way. Now, chapter 16, Samson is empowered. He goes down into Gaza, and he goes to a harlot. So the last verse of 15 says he judged Israel in the days of Philistines 20 years. Then went Samson to Gaza, saw an harlot, went in unto her, and they told the Philistines that he was here, and they circled around the house to capture him. And at midnight, he got up and went out and tore the gate off the city and carried it up to a hill. I've read some folks that have done research on this, and they believe the gate would have been about 9'9" and could have weighed as much as 5,000 pounds if it was a double gate. And God gave him the strength to carry this thing up to 36 miles away. And, I mean, it's just nothing that we can compare it with. I remember when Paul Anderson was the strongest man in the world. Paul Anderson became a born-again believer. He had a boys' home with a ranch, and he could put one arm under a horse and lift him up for him to be shooed. And he could go up under on TV. He went up under a gigantic platform and with his back pick up an adult elephant on top of the platform. And he had that kind of strength that was just phenomenal. But it's nothing compared to the kind of strength that Samson had that was from the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of God gave him this kind of power to bring judgment upon the Philistines. But Samson doesn't learn his lessons. He goes back to another woman and has a desire for Delilah. And Delilah sells him out by asking him what is the secret of his strength. And it's a long process that he goes through. He toys with her and teases her and lies to her. But finally he tells her the truth, that if they cut his hair, that will break the Nazarite vow between him and God, the source of his power. They cut his hair, they take him prisoner, they put his eyes out. They imprison him. They have him turning the grinding wheel like an animal grinding their corn. They make fun of him. They take him to the temple when they're having a giant celebration. And Samson gets the person taking him to let him hold the pillars of the temple. And his hair had started to grow back by then. And he prayed for God to give him his power one more time. And he pulled the pillar out from under and destroyed the temple and killed more of the Philistines in his own death than he had the whole time that he had fought them and brought judgment upon them. Samson several times fell to lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life. And we all have battles with those three things. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All sin comes under the categories of those three things. And they will cause us to hinder our prayer life and lose our power with God until we make it right with the Lord and serve God and walk with God. So let us learn from these judges and what took place there that we avoid those problems in our own lives. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. Bless them, encourage them, keep them safe as they go home. And Lord, we're thankful we're not in this terrible snowstorm that's coming, but we are supposed to get probably some inches of rain for the next couple of days. So we pray you'll protect us there and keep our property and our home safe. And we love you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.